He forgives us. He heals us. He redeems us. He crowns us with steadfast love, and he satisfies you with good. Lord, I pray that you would help us bless you this morning, not because of who we are, what we've done, not through how good our music is or how we feel coming in this morning, but that through getting to look at you and get a clear picture of you, to be reminded of who you are and what you've done for us, that you are a healer and a redeemer, that you satisfy us and have done everything needed to redeem us, that because of that, we would praise you and bless you with all that's within us. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Taste it and sing.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Let's sing that again. I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Some Holy Spirit.
Experience the glory of your is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
Sing it out.
Christ alone, He took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save, till on that cross as Jesus.
Church, we are now going to continue worshiping the Lord through prayer. I'm going to lead us in prayer. I would invite all of you that can to make your chair into a bit of an altar and position yourself for prayer. I'm going to get on my knees in prayer and lead us that way. Father, this morning, your sons and daughters, whom you rescued, whom you created, whom you delight in, we, together with one voice, sent church, we boldly, through the blood of Jesus, approach you. We bring you our greatest needs. We bring you our requests. We bring you our hopes. God, we bring you our shortcomings. We bring you our guilt. We seek your face. So this morning as we kneel before you, would you hear our cry? Would you receive our worship? God, thank you for the promise that through the blood of your Son, not only have we been forgiven and received your righteousness, blessed us with purity, cleansed us. You changed the leopard spots. But also, we get to talk to you. You listen to us. God, right now, we don't deserve to be heard, but you made a way for us to be heard. We are lowly people, and the God of heaven, the God of the universe, you hear us. So we boast in you as the God who hears. Our cries do not go unheard. Our request does not go unheard. You know our frame. You know our frailty, our weaknesses. You know the things about us that we hate about us. And God, right now we bring all of that to you. Sent church, your adopted sons and daughters, we bring you all of us. We call on your name. God, heal us where we are broken. Forgive us where we have sinned. God, enlighten us where we have been wrong. Grant us peace where there is restlessness. Where there's anxiety, God, by your presence, by your Spirit, bring us a peace that passes understanding. Where we are confused, where we are frustrated, God, the places where we don't see a way out, for your glory, would you answer us and deliver your people as you always have. Father, as a church, we rejoice that you are the God of the gospel. You are the God of the good news, and it is the good news about what you have accomplished, what you have done through the work of your Son and giving us the blessing of the Helper, the Spirit of God, that you are reconciling all things to yourself. You have pulled off the greatest rescue in all history, and we find ourselves right now called up in the middle of your great gospel. God, I praise you that you have let us in on this gospel. It is this good news that we cling to. It is this good news that we are centered on. We praise you for the news of what you've done. God, we ask that you would keep us centered on this news, that we would not look to our own ingenuity, that we would not seek help from places outside of what your gospel declares to us. God, in our work, keep us centered on the gospel. In our rest, keep us centered on the gospel. In our sexuality, in our hobbies, in our parenting, as we're on mission, as we serve, God, keep us centered on the gospel of God. Thank you for bringing our church to value and see the scripture as pointing to you. And God, we want our lives to reflect what your scriptures reflect. We want our lives to be showing the world what you are like. We want to live how you lived. We want to walk in your ways. We want to talk how you talk. We want to serve how you served. Father, we want our lives and our words to declare this good news and to show how good this news has been for us and how good this news is. God, thank you the promise that the completion of this gospel does not rest on our shoulders, but you will finish what you started. You will bring us back to what you intended for us to be, knowing you, walking with you, worshiping you with no sin, no pain, no suffering, face to face with you. You will complete this good news. We praise you for that. Father, we also bring our request to you as a church. You know our heart for mission. You know the place and the people that you've put us. God, we desire, our church, we desire a building. We would love a home base to do ministry from, a gospel base. So God, would you, by your grace, grant us a building? We will steward that building. By your help, we will use it to make much of you. So God, bless us with a building. Father, we also desire more people in Charlotte worshiping you. So would you pour your spirit out on our congregation, make us bold proclaimers of your word, and God, you do what only you can do. Take dead people and make them alive again. For our neighbors whom we love, our friends who we love, God, change their stories. Use us to be good news communicators. And Father, finally, we as a church, we desire to see your hand of grace, your wind, your breath sweep over our town, sweep over our church, sweep over our homes. We want to see an outpouring of your spirit on us. We need this in our homes. We need this in our workplaces. Father, please do hear what will be worshiped, what will bring you worship for eternity. Pour out your spirit on our church. Lead us to repentance. Bless us with your presence. In Christ's name, amen. All right, church, you can stand, and we will continue worshiping God through song.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of sin. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
Sing it out. It was my sin.
It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me back. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection.
Why should I gain?
Why should His wounds have paid my ransom.
Why should I gain?
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Y'all can take a seat.
Amen, amen. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. My name is David, and it's a real joy to get to worship Jesus with you today. Thanks for joining us. If it's your first time or your 50th time, we're glad that you're here. Thank you for being with us. We're especially excited if it is your first time, and so thank you for being here. If you have a smartphone, which I believe most of you do, you can go to our homepage and fill out our digital connect card. You can also scan the QR code on the cart, or you can go old school, and there's like a card right in front of you in your seat back pocket, and some of them should be there. And we would love to have just your name and email address, and want to be able to follow up in a respectful way. And so if that's you, welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, if you've been here lots of times, you can use that card to write prayer requests or ways you're looking to get plugged in here at Scent Church. We would love to follow up with you again in a respectful way. Now, can I move this over just a tiny bit without getting in trouble? Boom. We good? We good? We good? Good. All right. I was like super nervous. I was going to be falling over in a minute. It's really great to be back. Been out the last couple weeks. It's good to be here. It's also a real blessing. I don't know if you all know this, but it's a real blessing for me to be able to be away out of the pulpit for a couple weeks and know that we have faithful, faithful pastors that can preach the Word of God in a very, very compelling and effective way. And so thank you to Pastor Josh, Pastor Alex for preaching while I was out. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were on a little anniversary trip, delayed like 7 months because our little baby's 7 months old. And then I was preaching in another church last week. So it's great to be back. Now, kids, before we jump in and get after it, if you're under 18, I want to hear from you. And if you're over 18, I also want to hear from you. So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to jump right in, and we are going to get after it today. If you're with me, if you're ready to jump in to God's word and hear from the Lord this morning, on the count of three, I want to hear you say, let's get after it. All right? 1, 2, 3. Yes, that was sort of okay. We'll talk about passion in a moment, so I'm going to hold on to that. Philippians chapter 3. I'm actually going to start reading in verse 8, but we'll focus in verses 12 through 21 this morning. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is God's good word to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have been so kind to give it to us. Thank you that in it you reveal yourself to us. I pray this morning that you would help me, Holy Spirit, to proclaim faithfully your word to your people. If anyone in here doesn't yet know you, I pray that today they would see that you are the greatest gain in all the universe. And for those that do know you, those of us who have seen that you are the greatest gain in all the universe, I pray that you would help us to press on faithfully in this life into the next. That we would run this race well, forgetting what lies behind and pressing and straining forward to the goal that is ultimate, the second coming, that it's knowing you, that it's being with you for all eternity, that it's the new heavens and the new earth, that it's the end of all the pain and the death and the hurt and the suffering and the destruction in this world, that it's being with you in the new heaven and the new earth, that we would strain forward toward that day, knowing that you have taken hold of us. And you will not let us go. God, give us grace to run this race well. We ask it all in your name, Christ. Amen. So, most of you know, for some of you that don't know, I'm married. And just to be really, really clear, because I absolutely love single folks, I want to be clear, whenever preachers talk about marriage, sometimes we can talk about it in a way that's like, this is the end-all, be-all, super goal of humanity. Just to be clear, that's not true, okay? Marriage is not the end-all. It's one gift of many that God gives in this world. But for me, it's been a great, amazing, incredible gift from God, all right? Again, single folks, it's not the end-all, be-all. But for those of us that are married, it is a gift. It's a gift. And for me, if you didn't know, I am married. I've been married to my amazing wife for 11, almost 12 years now. And I know for some of you, that's like a second. For others of you, that's like an eternity, okay? So wherever you're on the spectrum, just know that we've been married and God has been really, really kind to us. And here's what I want to say. My hope, my goal in marriage, and I think Jordan's goal in a lot of ways, is to continue to know each other more and more and more. Like, almost 12 years ago, we covenanted our lives together. We stood before God and a crowd of people, and we said, yes, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my life to you. And we're going to happily be, or what is it? Happily ever after, right? We're going to be married and live lives happily ever after. Like, this is the yes. This is the covenant. This is the love story coming true, right? And so this is what we did. But here's the thing. From that day forward, we continue to get to know each other. We continue to know more and more. Like, I didn't know everything there was to know about my wife on that day. She didn't know everything there was to know about me. Now, just to be clear, single folks, this is for you. It's real, real wise. to know a lot about that person before you marry them. Like a lot, okay? Not like a little bit, but a lot of it. You need to know lots of bits about that person before you enter into a covenant with them. Like marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling. Like, hey, do you love Jesus? Do you want the same things out of life? Are we going the same direction? All of this stuff is super important, all right? Just so we're clear. Teenagers, understand that. Kids, understand that. Single folks, understand that. Don't take a husband or a wife that's like a pagan head and doesn't love Jesus. Bad idea. Even if they love Jesus, you're not heading the same direction. Bad idea, all right? Marriage counseling later. But nonetheless, like that's the idea. So we knew lots about each other. Man, we didn't know everything there was to know. And from that moment until today, we continue to get to discover amazing things about each other. Just last weekend, I told you guys, we spent a few days alone together, and it was cool to continue to realize, hey, I didn't know that about you, and I didn't know that about you. And so we continue to know more and more about each other. Not, listen to me, not because I want to marry her again or she wants to marry me again, not because we're trying to win each other over so that we'll covenant together, but actually it's because we have already covenanted our lives together that we want to continue to know each other more and more and more. And in a similar but much more amazing way, the Apostle Paul is calling those who are in Christ to realize the Lord Jesus, that we'll look at in just a moment, has taken hold of you and I. He's grabbed us up, if you will, and before the whole universe said, you are mine. And now Paul is saying to us, because the Lord has taken hold of us, we continue to strive to know him, to know more of him, to know the depths of who he is, the beauty of who he is, the majesty that fills him, the complete otherness of our God. We continue to strive after him. Anybody in here feel like, even if you're new to the Bible, I don't know, the Apostle Paul's like a really, he's kind of a big deal, all right? He's not Jesus, but like, he's kind of a big deal. Anybody in here feel like, you know what, if you don't know who he is, he wrote like half the New Testament, okay? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's word. But nonetheless, anybody feel like, you know what, I'm a little bit more mature than Paul. Like, Paul has a few things to learn from me. Anybody feeling that in here? Great, great. So we're all on the same page. That's really good that no one's like, you know what, I feel like I should have wrote Philippians. Probably could have done it a little better, Paul. All right? Nobody's feeling that. So that's good because Paul is saying to us, one, watch me, but two, we all are going, Paul is a very mature believer in Christ. And Paul is saying to us, keep running this race hard. The finish line is in sight. The goal is secure. Victory is assured. Keep running hard is what Paul is calling us to. Not for the love of Jesus, not for his acceptance, not for his approval. It's not as if we're straining and striving to earn the love of the Father. It's Jesus has taken hold of us, and now we run to know him more. You guys know I love the Georgia Bulldogs, right? You guys know this. If you don't know this, you know it now. Go Braves, go Bulldogs. It was a great day in Georgia yesterday. But here's the thing. Yesterday, the game's done, all right? The Bulldogs smashed the Gators, which is like, in my house, here's who you cheer for. You cheer for the Bulldogs and anybody who's playing the Florida Gators. That's how we do it, all right? So the Bulldogs and anybody who's playing the Gators. That's what we do, all right? And so we're playing the Gators yesterday. So it was like doubly amazing that they were up 27-3 or 27-0, I think. I don't know what the score is. It's late in the fourth quarter. Game's over. Victory is secure. There's no way they're winning that game. My boy Zeus, Zamir White from North Carolina, you don't have to know who he is. He's a running back. He's cool. All right. He gets the ball and he breaks out for a 50-yard touchdown, and he's running like the game is tied and they might not win it. All right. That's the idea. Victory is secured. The game is in the bag. And we're running hard, leaving the Gators behind all day long. This is what Paul is calling us to. This is the idea. And so the big idea this morning is this. As citizens of heaven, We press on toward the goal of knowing Christ finally and fully. As citizens of heaven, we press on toward the goal of knowing Christ finally and fully. We'll look at three ways we press on here this morning. First, we press on with passion. Look with me at verses 12 through 14 again. Not that I have already attained this or I'm already perfect, Paul writes, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So this is what he's spelling out, and this is the point he's making. I press on, you see that there, and then in verse 13 and 14, he goes on to illustrate or dig deeper in to help us understand this idea of pressing on into Christ. Verse 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We press on with passion. With passion. Like Zamir White headed to the end zone, smashing the Gators, even though the game has already been won. We are going and running hard with passion. See, the idea here is that Christ has already taken hold of us. In fact, you see it there in verse 12. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. It's the same words there in the Greek. The English is doing, trying to show us that Paul's saying, I press on to make it my own, but Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is, there's another translation that says, I press on to take hold of it. So it's this idea of like, I'm trying to grab hold of it. I'm trying to attain it. I'm trying to get it. I press on to take hold of it. And then it goes on to say, but I have also been taken hold of by Christ, or because I've been taken hold of by Christ. And so the idea here for you and I, the passion for you and I, is coming from the reality that Jesus, even though we didn't deserve it, took hold of us, that he grabbed us and he will never let us go, that this is what is driving us, that victory is certain and secure. Or you could look again at the end of verse 14 where he says, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This call of God, this is Pauline language where he's referring to this calling that we have been called by God out of darkness into marvelous light, that God has redeemed us and he's rescued us, that for all of us, if I can go a bit further with the Florida Gator illustration, we were on the losing team. We were getting smashed. And it wasn't because some other team took our place. Like, we played the game and we were losing. We were messing the whole thing up. We were rebels, sinners, running from God against him. And he, in his grace, stepped in. And you know the story of Jesus. He came and he lived a perfect life and he died a death in our place. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then 3 days later, our glorious Savior got up from the grave, appeared to many, and ascended back to heaven, to where right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says to all and anyone, trust in me. Come to me. Receive mercy. Receive forgiveness. Receive grace. You don't have to play for the Gators anymore. You can actually be on Team Georgia, and you can be a winner because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. May not be that way next year, so I got to get them in now while I can, you know? You can rest in our Savior. And this is the passion that's driving Paul to run hard in this race. I want you to understand why he's so passionate. Because, like, he was lost and then he was found. He was under the due just wrath of God, but he received mercy. Paul realized, even though he had worked his entire life to be the best Jewish guy he could, to know the Torah, to follow the law, to do all of the right things, that it still wasn't good enough. This is what he just unpacked for us in the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 3. That all of the stuff he was trying to attain, all the stuff he was trying to go after, that all of it was actually a pile of rubbish or dung compared to knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. And that this is the beauty of the gospel. This is the gospel centrality that Pastor Stephen just prayed that we would be about as a church family, that would transform us, that would mold us, that would shape us, that would impassion us.
to run the race well, to run it hard. See, this is Jordan saying yes to me. This is the idea. This is me getting on a knee, asking her to marry me, and her saying yes. This is what impassions me, emboldens me to continue to get to know her. And so he says, I'm running passionately. I'm running toward the goal ahead. Not that I've already attained it. What is he talking about attaining here? What's he going after? Well, there's some debate about it, but I think the clearest, most obvious idea is that he's going after knowing Christ. What is he striving after? What does he want more of? What does he want to keep running the race? To know Christ Jesus. Again, that's why I went back and started reading in verse 8. It's because in verse 8 he says, indeed I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verse 10, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And there's allusions to the eschaton or the second coming of Christ Jesus. When Jesus will come and make all things right again, what Paul is saying is I haven't already obtained this. What is this? Knowing Christ as fully and as finally as I can on that day. But I'm running hard to keep knowing Jesus, to know more and more and more of our Savior. This is what Paul is doing. He said, not I've already attained it, or I'm already perfect. I don't have to be perfect because Jesus was, but I press on to make it my own. What is he pressing on to make his own? To know Christ fully. To know Christ fully. And he uses the illustration in verse 13 of a runner in a race. I don't consider I've made it my own, but one thing I do, this is the illustration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The idea is that he's forgetting the past, all of the rubbish that he just unpacked, and Pastor Alex did a great job of unpacking for us last week. All of the rubbish, all of the trying to earn it, all of the things that have been done to us, all of the sin that we've committed, all the sins that have been committed against us. Paul is saying, we're running the race. Forgetting those things, all the places that we were finding worth and value and significance in this life, all the places that we were trying to find peace and hope and security and comfort in this life, all the places where we were trying to be our own Savior, Paul is saying, we forget those things and we run forward to what is ahead. I was coaching 8U softball, 8U girls softball this past season. It was a delightful experience. You should try it. Everyone should try it at least once, particularly if you have a child that's in 8U, because the parents love to be critical. Nonetheless, love you all, parents. If you're on my team and you ever listen to this, I love you in Jesus. But you should try to coach. Be a volunteer. It's great. It'd be good for your soul. But coaching 8U girls softball, one of the things we're constantly trying to get them to do is run through first base. Run through it. Not like just do your very best to get 10 feet from it and then slow down and like kind of sort of barely tap your foot on it. All right, but like you're trying to run through that thing like a freight train, right? If anyone's ever played, sorry, there's so many sports illustrations. I apologize if you hate sports. But in baseball, you hit the ball and then you run through the bay. Like first base, you get to run through it. You don't have to stop on it. You keep going past it, all right? So you don't have to slow down. You keep running, so you get there faster than the ball gets there. And we're constantly trying to teach the girls, hey, you hit the ball, and you drop your bat, and you get through first base. This is the idea. This is what Paul's saying. Somebody's talking about like a runner in a marathon, perhaps. But we'll just use AU softball. Like, that's the idea. You hit that mug. You don't look at where it went. You don't try to figure out if it's in the outfield or the infield, if it's a ground or if it's a pop-up. You simply drop your bat, and you run through first base, forgetting your last at bat, forgetting where the ball went, forgetting who might be chasing you or who isn't, forgetting if the play is coming your way or not. You are full steam ahead trying to get through the bag. You're forgetting what lies behind, running forward to what is ahead toward Christ Jesus. For you and I, this is the call. We are constantly being reminded of our past, are we not? We are constantly being reminded of all the ways in which we don't add up. We're constantly being reminded of all the ways in which we are insignificant. We're constantly being reminded of all the ways in which we are still sinful and struggle with our flesh. We're constantly being reminded of all the baggage of our past again and again and again. And what Paul is saying, that we run with passion, forgetting all the mess and going forward to what God has for us because Jesus has won the victory. He's taken a hold of us. And so we press on, church, with passion. We continue to mature with passion. We are passionate, listen to me, about knowing Jesus. More passionate than we are about anything else in this world. Paul is saying, our greatest passion is knowing Jesus. Knowing Him. That whatever else in life we may be passionate about, the Bulldogs, the Braves, softball, whatever your passions are in this life, there's one greatest passion, and it is knowing our Savior, Jesus. And we press on with the Apostle Paul, running hard after that. We press on with passion. Secondly, we press on following the right people. This is verse 15 and 19, and I won't take me near as long on this point, because essentially Paul has already hammered this, and Josh hammered this home a couple of weeks ago. But Paul is now saying, follow me as I follow Jesus. Look with me at verses 15 through 19. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Paul's saying, like, here's how you're supposed to think. You know, there's like those, here's how to think type educations. And then here's what to think educations. All right, here's what you think. All right, this is right, y'all. Paul's saying, this is right, homies. And if you think otherwise, the Lord will show you you're wrong. But this is right, all right? This is right. Trust me. Apostle Paul, if you're mature, you think this way. And in fact, he's actually saying, if you're mature, what you realize is you're not actually that mature. That's why you keep running toward Jesus. Because the more mature you get, actually the less mature you feel. And the more mature you get, actually you realize how much further you have to go. How much more there is to know about our great and glorious God. This is the point Paul's making. He's not being arrogant or smug. He's saying, hey, those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a while, realize there's so much more to know about our good and glorious God. This is why we press on with passion. And so Paul's saying, press on. Following the right people, verse 15. If you're mature, think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So even if you're like, you know what, I don't know if I need to press on the way Paul is with passion, and you know, and I got Jesus. He's saying, hold on to what you've attained. What have we attained? We've attained knowing Jesus. We've been taken a hold of by God through Christ. Hang on to that. And then he says in verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Again, Paul is saying, hey, press on by following the right people. And he's saying, here's how you think. This is what mature thinking looks like. You focus on Jesus. You focus on what is to come. You focus on the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus while forgetting all of the earthly things. And you follow people that do that. That's what Paul is saying. He's telling you what to think, not how to think. And if you're more mature than Paul, which we've all said we weren't, but you could go ahead and think how you want. But since we're not, then what we do is we say, yeah, I trust the Word of God, and I'm going to think this way. I'm going to think that the goal is knowing Christ Jesus, and that it's worth the entirety of my life to press on to know Him more fully. Even though I know He's coming again to make all things right, I'm going to press on, and I'm going to not be distracted like these other cats in this world, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame and their sin, whose minds are set on earthly things, all the earthly things, all the things that are fading away in this world, right? Like football and finances and careers and stuff and relationships in a lot of ways, at least as we know them. Paul is saying, no, no, no. We don't prioritize these things. We're not more passionate about these things than we are about knowing Jesus. We think rightly. We follow Jesus with all that we are. We press on following the right people. Paul has already said, and again, Pastor Josh did a great job 2 weeks ago. He's already highlighted Timothy and Epaphroditus as examples to follow. And now Paul says, follow me as well. They know him. They know Paul. He's been there multiple times. He's their guy. He says, y'all keep following me. And here's, listen to this. This is really, really, really important for Paul and for all of us. We follow men and women who, listen, are about knowing Christ Jesus above all else and making him known to the world. And where they blow it in other areas, we don't follow them in those areas, right? But we follow them in ways in which Paul's not saying I'm perfect. He actually said, I'm not perfect. I'm not already perfect. I haven't attained the goal. But follow me as I come running after Jesus. This is what we do. And lastly, we press on as a citizen of paradise. We press on following the right people. And then lastly, in verses 20 and 21, we press on as citizens of paradise. Verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth, not in Rome, not in Philippi. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. If I could be so bold as to say everyone is straining and striving for paradise. Everyone is straining and striving for some type of paradise. And the beauty of what Paul is articulating to the Philippian church and to us here is that we have already attained it because of Jesus. That Jesus has secured paradise for us. That we no longer have to strain and run to get to paradise. That paradise on earth or heaven on earth is the goal for so many people. And the goal for us is knowing Christ Jesus, who has secured paradise for us now and for all eternity. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven now. That's present tense. We are now, right now, citizens of paradise. We've already attained it because of Jesus. This is the current state in which we live. Brother and sister, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. You've been bought with the blood of Christ. You've been loved by the Father. You are adorned with the Holy Spirit. You are secured to the day of judgment. Christ Jesus is your King and your Lord, and he is perfect in his rule and his reign and his majesty. You are a citizen of heaven, and our earthly citizenship is always secondary or thirdary or way, way, way down the list, depending on how much you're pursuing Jesus, I guess. We are citizens of heaven. And Paul says, press on with this reality in mind, knowing that you are a citizen, and as a citizen, we await the certainty, the certain future that our King Jesus is coming back to make all things right. And so, like, if you're in Rome or if you're in America, if you're in China or if you're in England, Jesus is Lord. He's on the throne, and he will come back, and every other earthly government will pass away. We press on as citizens of paradise. See, so we are to live in light of this, live in light of the temporary nature of everything around us. So, like, can I just be real bold and say, like, you know what, I actually really do love the country that we live in. Contrary to some other popular opinions or not popular, I don't know what you think about what I think about America. I really don't care that much. But I do love America. But you know what? I'm not worried about her passing away. I'm simply not, it doesn't keep me up at night. I'd probably like fight and die for people that want to rule tyrannically in our country. I would probably do that because I think freedom is best and all of these sorts of things. But what I want us to understand is that Paul is saying was we live as citizens of another kingdom first. And that we understand that America is not the new Israel, it's not the new heaven, it's not the new earth, that one day America and all the governments of this world will pass away and be submitted to the perfect lordship of Jesus Christ. And we live with that reality in mind, no matter what government system we find ourselves under. This is what we go after. This is what Paul is saying. So where we shine bright in this world is we seek to bring, by God's grace, heaven to earth where we can. We seek to bring the rule and reign of Jesus in the hearts and lives of everyone around us where we can. This is our goal. This is our hope, our aim. And we're fighting for this. See, we live in light of this. We're utterly different from the systems and structures of this world. We aim to make it better, always, no matter where we live. But our aim in that is to bring heaven to earth, to call people, as Christ said, to repentance, because the kingdom of God is at hand. To shine as lights in a dark world, this is the language of the scriptures, to be a city on a hill, to not be conformed to this world, but we are sent to seek the world and to bring it into conformity with Christ and his kingdom. We press on as citizens of paradise. We, like Paul and like Pastor Stephen, are in tears for our friends, neighbors, and co-workers in our nation that doesn't know Jesus, whose end is destruction. And we, like Paul, are in tears as citizens of another kingdom, saying, hey, y'all, we want you to get in on this. Come join King Jesus. He's a far better ruler than anything this world has to offer. Trust him, rest in him, hope in him. We're citizens of paradise. The ticket's already been punched, and now we live in this victory, passionately going after all that Christ has called us to. So I got one question for us this morning. That's this: what are you pressing on towards and why? What are you pressing on towards and why? Now, I want to be real clear. If the gospel is not compelling you, then you're missing it. Meaning, if you're not resting in the victory, the sure victory you have in Jesus, and you're pressing on to earn the love of the Father and earn redemption for yourself, then you're missing both the message of the Bible and the call of God in Christ Jesus. You're missing it. We press on because Christ has taken a hold of us. Because he secured the victory. Again, remember our guy Zeus, Zamir White, running. The victory is secured. He's running as fast as he can to the end zone, knowing the W is already in the books. Speaking of the Bulldogs, this will be my last Bulldog illustration, at least for today, because the sermon's done. We'll see what happens next week. But 2 weeks ago, I told you guys it was we were celebrating like a 6-month delayed anniversary trip. And someone very, very graciously gave my wife and I free tickets to the game in Athens for Pastor Appreciation Month, which, just FYI, I'm not saying anybody should ever do that again, but if you want to, like, that's great, you know. It's great. It's a great gift. It's one of probably the greatest gifts I've ever gotten from somebody for Pastor Appreciation. Maybe not the greatest for my wife. I don't even ask her about that, but she was super kind to go with me. And so we had tickets to the Georgia-Kentucky game. They were both ranked, and so we went. But we had tickets, like they were secured. Someone sent them to me via, you know, my phone now, because you can't have like paper tickets. They don't even accept them anywhere anymore. So I got on my phone. We're going to the game. Like our seats are secure. But here's the thing. We had like a long journey to get there. That morning we had to fight through an 8U softball game. We had to coach it because all the other coaches were out of town. So like that's the one thing we did on our little time away. We had a little staycation and then we coached the girls softball. So we had to fight through that game. And then we had to quickly get from there to Athens, Georgia. And we had to fight traffic along the way. And then we had to fight for like 45 minutes to find somewhere to park in Athens. You've never been there on game day. It's a wonderful experience, but it's horrible to find somewhere to park. So we're trying to find somewhere to park for like 45 minutes to an hour. We're looking. Then we're like still, you know, half a mile from the stadium, if not more. And so we got to change in the car. We're changing. And then we got to walk a long way. And then we get in the stadium finally, right? Or get up to the stadium. And then it's like just a sea of red. We're trying to get in there. What are we doing? We're pressing on. It's like, babe, we're going. We're pressing on. We're going to get there before kickoff. We're going to get in there. We get in there, and the stadium's wonderful, but horrible if you're trying to get from, like, one place to the next. So we're going around this corridor, and it's like for real. It's like worse than 77 on the worst rush hour traffic. You're trying to go north after work day before the express lanes were there. You're just jammed up, bro. You're parked. You're just parked, hanging out. And we finally get around, taking one step at a time. And here's the thing. We get to the corridor. We finally get to our seats, right, and we walk down, and we go over, and sure enough, right there on our row, our two seats, no one's there. They're reserved just for us. And we're there like 10 minutes before kickoff. It's glorious. The call for you and I is to understand that someone has bought us a more glorious ticket. A more glorious ticket has already been secured for you and I. Heaven is secured because of the work of Jesus. The journey there will be full of striving and straining and hardships along the way. We all know this over the last 18 months to 2 years. We know that the call is going to be full of difficulty, suffering, and security struggles waits. And what Paul is saying to all of us, hey, y'all, guess what? Your seats are guaranteed. Press on. Press on of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's worth it. There is nothing in this world worth passionately pursuing more than knowing our Savior, Jesus. He snatched you up. You're His. Now run the race with passion, knowing that one day you'll make it and you will sit there and you will enjoy the victory of King Jesus. This is what we're called to. And so what are you pressing on towards? And why? Why are you pressing on? We're continuing to mature. And the goal is for us to press on to know Him and to make Him known in this world on our way to paradise. We are called to know Him and to make Him known on our way to a secure paradise. Let's pray. God, we love You and we need You. Help us to passionately pursue You above all else in this world. Help us to follow the right people and help us to live as citizens of another kingdom while being faithful to whatever citizenship we have on earth. Help us to do it well. Lord, may we be a people who are marked by pressing on to know You more, to fellowship with You more. And in all of our pressing to know You, may You continue to break our hearts for those that do not know You. May we, like Paul, be full of tears, thinking of those whose end is destruction. And would You help us to make You known to them so that they too might join us on this journey of pressing on to the secure kingdom that is coming. give us grace to do it well. Help us to be motivated by the gospel and not by guilt or shame. We need you. We love you. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen.
We're going to spend a moment of quiet reflection. And so I would invite everyone to continue to bow your heads, close your eyes, as we receive God's word. We also desire to worship him in response to his word. So this morning, the questions that we must sit with, some of us, today is the first time you heard about what Christ has accomplished for you. So today you can, for the first time, press on toward Christ because Christ has pressed on toward you. And today you can receive this Christ. Jesus offers himself to you today. You can put your faith in him, put your hope in him, put your trust in him. He is reliable. So for some of you this morning, it might look like, for the first time, giving yourself over to him, giving him your life, trusting him with your life, because he has pressed on towards you. You can now receive him. Christian, how has the Lord led you this morning through his word to press on toward him? Do you lack passion? Are you pressing on? Does your life reflect the life of a Christian who is pressing on toward Christ? He'll give you that. Go to him. He'll give you the passion for him that you need. Christian, are you following the right people? Are you following the wrong people? What does pressing on look like for you? What does it look like for you to live as a citizen of paradise? This morning, Christ calls us to himself again, again, and again. And he also calls us to obedience. So receive instruction from the Lord and go do it. Obey him. It will be good for you. Now as we move to a time of response and reflection into communion, the scripture reminds us clearly, as we prepare to receive the Lord's table, we are supposed to examine ourselves. We're supposed to examine ourselves and prevent eating and drinking wrath on ourselves. This is a representation of what Christ has accomplished for us, and we do not take it lightly. And so take a moment, prayerfully take all of the things that would keep you from this table, all of the things that would keep you from eating and drinking in a worthy manner. Take those to Christ, be forgiven. And then after you've done that, I would invite all Christ followers, having been forgiven of your sins, all Christ followers, come when you can. And as you maybe noticed, today we're doing it a little bit different than we usually have. We're moving away from just the little one-time cup things. We now have wine and juice and real bread. And so you can use your discretion on what you will take. There's little cups. We'd ask for you to, as sanitary as possible, receive one cup. Do not drink or do not eat yet. We want you to take it back to your seat, and I will lead us in communion. But as you receive the bread, there's gluten-free bread and regular bread. As you receive that, please use a napkin and receive just your bread, not everyone else's. So take a moment of repentance and reflection, and then when you are ready, come and receive communion. Take it back to your seat, and I will lead us in a moment. Y'all stand, take the bread in your hand. As you hold the bread in your hand, 1 Corinthians 11 says, the The Lord, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you for your bodily sacrifice. Your flesh was ripped so that we could gain access to the Father. And so we rejoice in your sacrifice, your body broken. Thank you. In Christ, amen. I want you to hold the cup. First Corinthians 11:25 says, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" For as often as you eat and drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the gift of proclaiming this death of Christ again this morning as we together, one body, one cup, one bread, we remember your great sacrifice. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we will worship the Lord. If you have children over in the other building, you can worship the Lord by going and getting your child, bringing that child back here. We will also worship the Lord in song, in truth, declaration to each other and to our Lord about what he has done. We will remember and rejoice in him that way. We will also, those of you who have come prepared, we worship the Lord in our giving at this time. God has graciously given to us, and we together as a collective, as a body, we pour our resources together and we give sacrificially as an act of worship. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he is our treasure, and so we give generously. Here at Scent, if you you can give through our boxes over by the door as an act of worship, or you can give online. Some of us give on a regular basis where we almost forget that we've given. I would encourage you now, worship the Lord that he has allowed us to participate in the joining of his established kingdom and his rolling out of his kingdom. We get to give. The Lord receives that worship from us. So, let's sing to this good God.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no through Christ. future sure. The price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the change.
Praise the one.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
One more time. Y'all can take a seat. We've got a special something from Andrew before we have announcements.
Hey, hey, so church, not just for me, it's from everybody. But as you guys are hopefully all aware from my wonderful wife's emails this month, today we are going to celebrate Pastor Appreciation. It was all month, obviously, so hopefully y'all have been encouraging to our pastors up until now. And beyond this point, but today specifically, we wanted to notice and appreciate our wonderful pastors. I wanted to say, obviously, every week we end with you all are sent, and that we should continue to live as Christ would live throughout the week. And our pastors do that as a fantastic example, not only on Sundays throughout the week with all the work that they do. Being a pastor is not a 40-hour a week job, as we all know. And so, as David preached on today, running our race well is something that our pastors and their wives do by example for our church very well. And so, we should be encouraged by them, and we should return that by encouraging them. And so, pastors, we want to honor you and thank you for your perseverance. To lean into the Lord, especially during this difficult time during the pandemic and everything that has happened for all churches and our church specifically. And so we want to notice that. We've asked the congregation to share some encouragement for all four of you and for your wives, and we want to share that with you now. So we'll start with the Bavats. So if Ashley wants to come up here, if she can, with her children, if Josh can help. Actually, we have some flowers for you as well, and some cards that some people have wrote out for you guys. I'm gonna try to keep this under 10 minutes, David, but I'm gonna go fast. But since we're in a 10 minute time crunch, y'all just please continue to appreciate them throughout the week. Send them texts, write them letters, and do everything you need. So Josh, this is from the church for both of you. But Josh, you've been described as peaceful, meek, and always willing to serve and lay down your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been a joy to watch you step into your role as a pastor and Ashley as a pastor's wife. Both of you are humble and obedient servants to the Lord who seek to glorify God with every step and every thought of your days. It has been a joy watching you grow as parents to Boaz and now to Enoch. Your great patience and reliance on the Lord is an example that we all see and do not take for granted. Every conversation you both have about pregnancy, childbirth, and raising your little ones always praises our Heavenly Father. So many of the young mothers and fathers look up to you as a role model, Ashley and Josh. Thank you for always sharing how in the hard moments of parenting you find joy and bring glory to God. You both have been getting after it day after day and leading through an example of fighting sin with ferocity, your example of hospitality and generosity, and your example in consistently pointing those around you to Jesus. It's an honor to watch you be sent community group leaders and join in imitating you as you follow hard after Christ. We cannot tell you how encouraging it is to see two people so young who are full of godly wisdom. There's something very special about you both, a quiet strength and a wisdom cloaked in humility that could only be attributed to you having sat at the feet of Jesus. It's such a blessing to me and to our church to see the joy in your faces and the light in your eyes as you speak of your Savior, and we pray that you will never allow the world and its cares to steal that away from you. Josh, we're incredibly grateful for your willingness to pursue the call that God had on your life and place you as an elder at St. Church. We're thankful for your love of Scripture and your zeal for the gospel and the sincere and compelling way you share it with others, whether from the pulpit or in your day-to-day life. Your gift of preaching has impacted us and encouraged so many of our hearts, stirring our souls and convicting our flesh. Ashley, you've been described as someone who's clothed in strength and dignity and laughs without fear of the future. You have a peaceful calm about you, and that testifies to your faith in the sovereign God. You are kind and gentle with your children, and we're grateful that Josh is someone filled with such grace to stand behind him in his role as pastor. So thank you both for your faithfulness to serve Jesus and his church. Alex and Emily, if you guys want to come up quick. Alex, you're okay. Thank you. Stacy has flowers and then some cards for you guys as well. Alex, you've been described as someone who seeks to honor Christ and his people through friendship and trustworthy relationships. You're easy to talk to and model Christ withness in meeting people where they're at. Thank you for your willingness and obedience to the Lord in leading a sent community. You've been helpful and loving with an incredibly hard season of life. We're blessed by your marriage and your family. Your eagerness to jump into many marriages was pivotal in providing an avenue for true restoration and revival from God. You may not see it, but your prayers, support, and sacrifice of time to help others walk through things allowed God to enter in as other avenues were ineffective. We're forever grateful for you both allowing yourselves and your time to be used by God to help save and strengthen marriages. It's a blessing to watch you both parent your children. You discipline and lead your kids in a way that reflects the love and gentleness of our Father. To say that you have been faithful friends, wise counselors, beautiful representations of our Savior, beyond generous, and the hardest workers, and such a joy to be around falls so short of the truth of who you both are and have been to our church. It has been one of God's kindest gifts to us that he has allowed us to know you and to call you our friends. Alex, you are such a wonderful dichotomy of humor and deep wisdom in perfect balance with each other. More often than not, people who are as intelligent and thoughtful as you tend to take themselves too seriously and lose their joyfulness and ability to revel in the frivolity of life. Those are some words. We love that both of you and Emily manage to have so much fun wherever you are, and at the same time are two of the wisest and most grounded people that I know. That is a rare combination, and it's such a gift for all of us who know you and love you. Alex, the Lord has gifted you in so many ways. Your talents as a preacher of God's word, an incredible community group leader, and the most friendly greeter, the most well-read bibliophile, an amazing writer, and tremendous encourager have been such an asset to our church. Emily, we are grateful for your sincere heart for the Lord and especially your ministry of leading other women to know him deeper and love him more. There have been so many women you have encouraged and discipled over the years. Your steady faith, even through incredibly painful times, has encouraged so many of us in our own faith to trust Jesus more. You've been a great friend and sister. We all know that we can come to you and share our burdens on our hearts or just have a laugh with you. We know that you will listen, thoughtfully consider, have genuine concern, and pray for those things. Thank you both for being faithful to our Lord in the service of his people and for being our wonderful friends. We love y'all. And then Stephen, and Brooke, is Brooke here today? Brooke is not, but the kids are. Stephen, you've been described as a man after God's own heart, full of joy, who lives life with his knees bent and hands high in full surrender, someone who constantly prays and supports so many families. You're always encouraging by the wise words you have spoken into many lives in the past couple years. Continue to pursue God above all else. We're grateful for the ways you have shared your heart with the church over the last year. It has encouraged and blessed us to hear of God's faithfulness to you during that time, and thank you for the opportunity to pray for you during that time. It's been a great joy to get to see how you parent and disciple your children. They're incredibly respectful, sacrificial, and loving, and that's not only a testament to the Lord's kindness, but how you guys have leaned into the Lord as you've raised them. Thank you for being an example of how to lead our children to Christ. We're so grateful God led you and your amazing family to Scent Church. When you joined us, we as a church have been through some difficult things, and our elders needed encouragement and someone with fresh vision to strengthen and come stand alongside them. And just as Aaron did for Moses when he grew exhausted in his task, you came with excitement and hope that held up their arms when they no longer could. That respite and encouragement alone was invaluable, but you have done so much more for our church since then. The way that you inspire, encourage others is an absolute blessing to all who have the privilege of knowing you. Your love for Jesus and your energy is contagious. I'm so grateful for all the hard work that you do for him and for his church. Your hand can be seen in every facet of life of this church family, and all that you have done, you do with grace and excellence. This is to Brooke. She's not here, so make sure y'all reach out and encourage her this week. But it says, Brooke, you're a beautiful soul. When we think of you, an image comes to mind, a tranquil river that runs deep. Your faith is steadfast, and you have a wisdom when you speak that makes everyone stop and listen. You have a way about you that puts people at ease and a common sense that sees to the heart of an issue. You're so hardworking and are getting things done while others are standing around trying to figure out where to begin. So thank you to the Wagner family and for both of you for being faithful to Jesus and his church. And thank you for being our friends and family. We love you dearly and pray that you have many more years together to serve Jesus and make more wonderful memories. And lastly, the Keene family. Some flowers for Jordan and some letters from us. David, you've been described as displaying the power and passion of Christ, faithful to Christ and his church until the end, and longs to see the kingdom come and his will be done. Thank you for your perseverance in the faith over the last 2 years of difficulty and rapid change. We're so grateful for the way that you lead us in truth and humility. You guys have been most instrumental in our spiritual formation the past 2 years as spiritual leaders and friends. Thank you guys sincerely for leading us by your example. We have never met people who sacrifice so well for the sake of the gospel. Time after time, we get to see glimpses of how you are loving others and putting the interest of others before your own. With incredibly full plates and 5 children, you never say no when the time comes to love your flock. Thank you for the example and blessing that you both are to the entire church. Please know that you are being prayed for every day. As a congregation, we are all sitting here because we love Jesus, but that we also love you both immensely. We are all so thankful for your leadership and obedience to Christ. We see your passion and true love for Jesus that goes beyond mere words. Jesus truly is your life and impacts every part of it. There is a joy and excitement about the gospel that is evident in both of you. Despite all the valleys you have walked through over the past years, to this day that continues to be true because you have followed your shepherd through those valleys. You have both been unwaveringly faithful through many years of ministry, even as you have gone through incredibly painful and discouraging times. No one has worked harder and been more consistently on than the two of you. Through the years, you have joyfully poured out yourselves to Jesus, setting up for church and tearing down week after week, first to arrive and the last to leave, counseling the troubled, serving in the nursery, loving on the broken, babysitting everyone's kids, praying with the hurting, making time in your jam-packed schedule to be present for everyone, going to birthday parties, officiating weddings, leading meetings and Bible studies, all the while being amazing parents and bringing God's word to us week in and week out. If there are two people who we can feel confident will hear those coveted words, "Well done," one day, it's the two of you. Your lives are so honoring to God, even while all you do has potential to bring you glory. What people see in your lives is Jesus. They see God glorified in the two of you. Jordan, your friendship has been a comforting presence to all of us in a world where women generally tend to compare and compete. You embody what it means to be a godly wife and mother. The way that you sacrifice daily for others is astounding and is so like Jesus. Words cannot express how you deeply are loved, and your family is loved, and how grateful we are for the way that you have allowed Jesus to be revealed through your guys' lives. So, thank you to Keens.
I want to say, on behalf of the elders, thank you. Thank you. We love you. We absolutely love you. And it's wonderful to be a part of a church that honors her leaders. Whether I was a leader or not, this is a God-glorifying moment. God loves it when we seek to outdo each other in honor. And God loves it when churches have healthy leaders. And so thank you for recognizing that. Thank you for honoring us that way. I was reminded, as Andrew was reading to the Keens, Hebrews says to the church, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So I can say from our elder team, we serve you with joy. We love this. We don't groan over you. You make it easy to lead. So thank you for that. Stan, I have two quick announcements. One's happening on Saturday. One's happening on Sunday. The first is ladies. Any lady that would like, Danny is going to be at the door for a few moments if you have any questions about this. But on Saturday from... at 3:30 in the Independence Hill Baptist Church parking lot, Danny is leading a course on understanding your automobile a little bit better. She seeks to glorify God by helping a lot of women here and future ladies know their automobiles better and have more comfort in knowing what's going on under the hood and around the tires. And so any lady that would like to learn and be a part of the first installment, Danny's seeking to get help on how to make this better for more ladies. And so you are invited, lady, and also if you have any lady friends that need to be more aware of their automobiles and have confidence in an emergency situation or just regular routine maintenance, please. Go here. You need to sign up. We need you to sign up. And it would be good if you haven't signed up and you're planning on going, go on and sign up today. Danny will be back at the back to let you know. The second announcement is this. On Sunday, next Sunday, we are having our chili cook-off and kickball. Fun time. Worship God, have fun, eat chili. Let's not eat too much. That's a sin. But we're going to eat the appropriate amount of chili, and we're going to play kickball, okay? So, again, you can sign up for that. I think we still have some spots. If you like to win, if you like to compete, bring some chili, and let's see how good you are. And then we'll play kickball, all right? We're going to have fun together. Also, if you have some neighbors or some friends that they would never dare go to your Scent community, and they would never dare come to a Sunday gathering, but they might go eat chili and play kickball with our church, invite them. we'll have fun, and we'll get to love on your neighbors as well. God, thank you for today. Thank you for blessing us with your word, with your presence. God, take what you have said to us and move us out. Empower us by your Spirit to go press on. As citizens of paradise, go live accordingly. That we go follow the people that need to be followed. That we go and pursue you. God, continue to use us to rescue your not yet sons and daughters. Save souls this week by the proclamation of your gospel. In Christ's name, amen. Church, you are sent.
See?